everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We are so happy to have everyone with us today. If you are attending this webinar, it's because, hopefully, it's because you're interested in the International Education Administrators Seminars, and we're very excited to talk briefly about all 7 seminars that we do offer through Fulbright. My name is Sarah Kauser. I'm an Outreach and Recruitment Analyst here at IIE, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Mary Roth Zeller, who can introduce herself.
Hi, everyone.
And we will get started. And on the screen, the one thing we always just want to note is our email is listed. You can reach both Mary Roth and myself at that email, iea@iie.org. So like any webinar that we kick it off, we always have an overview about the program because it is really important to drive home what Fulbright is because you will be using this to really tie it in your statements throughout your application. And Mary Roth will discuss that a little bit further on. But really just to kind of hit home a few kind of key points is the Fulbright program was established in 1946. Its goal was strengthening the relationships between the people of the United States and the rest of the world. This is really designed to be a people-to-people diplomacy. The program is sponsored by the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of Educational and Cultural Affairs, but it is administered by the Institute of International Education. So we really just like to drive home that point. It's a people-to-people diplomacy program. That's why it was sponsored by the Department of State. And to just not forget that you are going into other countries and not only what you can get out of it, but what also you are leaving behind. So that's just a key point we always like to leave with our audience. We also really enjoy sharing this slide here. It's Fulbright by the numbers. One thing that makes me very excited is the fact that we're nearing almost 400,000 alumni of the program. Now, this includes the scholar program, which you are all a part of or interested in becoming a part of, as well as the student program, the teacher program, so on and so forth. So Fulbright is very much an umbrella program, and you are interested today in the scholar side. You can also see the other types of numbers, so Nobel laureates and Pulitzer Prize recipients. So many people who have had Fulbright have gone on to do wonderful things, and we just really like to drive that home. As a quick note, I believe the program started with giving about 80 recipients a year, and we're close to giving about 8,000. So this program just has been growing phenomenally, and we anticipate it will continue to do so. So as I was mentioning, the program that you're interested in is through the Scholar Program. This slide is really just to show you the different kind of facets of the Scholar side. So many of you might be more familiar with the core Fulbright U.S. Scholar Program, where they do teaching and research overseas. But oftentimes, many people are not familiar with that 10% that's listed on this screen. Those are these International Education Administrator Seminars, 2 countries, they're 2-week seminars, and that's really what we're now officially going to dive into for the rest of this PowerPoint presentation. So on the screen, you can see the 7 countries that are participating in these seminars. Mary Roth will actually be going one by one through each of these, and later on, we will be having a webinar about each individual kind of deadline. So India and Taiwan will have one coming up. We'll talk about this later. Russia, since it's designed for community colleges, has its own webinar. Japan and Korea will also have a webinar, as well as France and Germany. And for each of these, we will have alumni of each of those programs offering their expertise. And we did receive a question earlier. These slides will be available as well as a recording of this PowerPoint. We are recording it now. We'll put that online within 2 to 3 business days. So I just wanted to highlight that real quick. But so going back to this, the International Education Administrator Program throughout this presentation, Mary Rolfe and I might shorten it to IEAs, so just to kind of keep you on the same track as us. The IEAs offer 2-week grants for American administrators to explore higher education systems in 7 diverse countries, as you can see on the screen and we spoke about. They're intended to have broad personal and professional impacts on grantees. And from these experiences, their home campuses will benefit from increased knowledge of the host country's higher education system. This also aids in the development of programs on your campuses as well as international student advising, broader global collaboration. And then last but certainly not least, it also allows you as the potential grantee to broaden your network with possible partnerships overseas and cooperations with other Fulbright IEA grantees. So Mayor Ralph will discuss about how many people are in each of the different cohorts, but for those 2 weeks you're going overseas, you might be with a group of 5 to 20 people. It just really depends on what the country has put forth. A key component for these programs, and I think it's important, is the fact that we ask applicants to think about their application in relation to their university. This is not just a personal application, but more broadly, it's one that aims to increase institutional internationalization. So yes, this is something that should impact you, but just don't forget the part that impacts your institution where you currently are. And let's see. There we go. Sorry about that. In terms of eligibility, you might be wondering what is eligible for these programs. Like the rest of the U.S. Scholar Program, you must be a U.S. citizen, so that has not gone away. But what is different and key about these programs is no terminal degree is required. That being said, all applications should have the appropriate professional experience, and this is laid forth in the catalog of awards. It will specifically say what they're looking for. Again, Mary Rolfe will discuss that momentarily. But largely what this means is applicants should work in some capacity within international education. As I said, it's important to check the specific program requirements for each award. Some have specific profiles that they're looking for, and Mary Rolfe will touch on those. And lastly, there are new policies that are posted on for previous Fulbright grantees. They're listed on the website. What that currently means to you right now is, say you've had a Fulbright in the past, there's a current waiting period of 2 years between the Fulbright. So in the past, you used to only be able to have one Fulbright. Now you can have more than one, but there's a waiting period. And for those who might have previously been a Fulbrighter, we just ask that you need to highlight that in your application and state why you would be coming back for a second one. Another thing that people are always interested in with these seminars, because they're in 7 diverse countries, is there is actually no language requirement. So these entire seminars will be conducted in English. So if that was your fear, fear not.
Okay, so before we get started in breaking down each country and all of the individual key aspects to them, I just want to give you guys some general information about all of the programs. So all of these seminars are 2 weeks in length. The things that vary are going to be when they take place in the year and the professional requirements, things like that, but they are all 2 weeks. And another key aspect is that they're going to be taking place in the capital city, but also other cities throughout the country. They vary each year, so each year you'll go to the capital city, but then also a few other locations to get a pretty diverse range of knowledge in the country and seeing how different things work in different places. So let's go on and dive into India. So the Fulbright Nehru IEA program to India will allow grantees to visit universities, government agencies, NGOs, and more in New Delhi and other major cities. Participants will gain firsthand knowledge of a cross-section of Indian institutions and meet with high-ranking university administrators and public sector officials. All these people play key roles in the planning and administration of higher education in India, so this is going to be a fascinating opportunity for you all. The seminar, specifically in India, it aims to achieve a balance of topical discussion, knowledge sharing, experiential excursions, and exposure to societal cultural facets of India. So you're really getting to learn a lot about India, and you're also getting to see a lot, too. So as you can see, India is looking for people that have at least 5 years of experience as either international education administrators or senior level university administrators. So international education administrators, these could be like your advisors for either foreign student or study abroad. These could be some admissions people, things like that. These senior level university administrators are going to be people like deans, vice presidents, provosts, and presidents. And so this could be, you know, the president of graduate student affairs or the dean of the international studies or something like that. The other aspects are the key highlight for this that you'll find in the award description for India that I really want to pull out for you guys is that they're looking for applicants that are going to have the capacity to build non-traditional destination programs, right? And so they want to reach faculty and students that are enhancing study abroad to these non-traditional destinations like India. So if you're looking at setting up collaborations and exchanges, different things like that with India, then this is a good place to look to. Or if you're looking maybe at South Central Asia as a whole, India could be a good start. The deadline for this program is August 1st. August 1st is also the deadline for the Fulbright U.S. Scholar Corps program that Sarah was mentioning earlier. So just keep that in mind. The grant dates for this is going to take place during 2 weeks in March. We don't have what specific dates yet, and that goes for most of the programs. If we do have the dates, though, you're going to find them in the award description. So just keep checking online, and we'll update them as we hear from the Fulbright commissions what the program dates are that they're setting. And then also just the last bullet, just so you guys have an idea of what this formatting is, that's going to be a direct link to the award description. So when you come back and look at this PowerPoint later, once it's archived online, you can be able to click directly into the award there.
And I'm just going to add one more piece of advice is at the end, if we have time, Mary Rolfe will actually take us through the catalog of awards and show you exactly how to find these awards so you don't get inundated with those 470 core awards. We'll show you exactly how to get to each of these awards.
All right, so on to Taiwan. So the U.S.-Taiwan IEA program is fairly new. It's the first program having take place this two Marches ago. So grantees will become more familiar with Taiwan's higher education system, society, and culture while on a seminar there. There will be briefings, campus visits, appointments with select government officials, cultural activities, and meetings with international education professionals. So as you're seeing, there's a trend. There's a lot of meetings, a lot of cultural activities, meeting with some high-level people to really give you the best professional development possible and really expose you to as much as possible while you're in these countries. This program is interested in senior-level administrators who have substantial international education responsibility or study abroad advisors with at least 3 years of experience. So again, make sure that if you are a senior-level administrator, that you have substantial international education experience and responsibility. You want to make sure that you can affect change even if you're higher up for the international education aspect of your school. Applicants should demonstrate their institution's interest in increasing numbers of Americans studying in Taiwan. So something that's key to the Taiwan Award is that in your project statement when you're writing your proposal, and we'll talk about the application components later, you need to write specifically about the number of students in your campus and things like that. Another important caveat for this award is that directors and instructors of English language programs are not eligible for this award. So there are a few awards, particularly the ones more in Asia, that do not want English language program instructors or directors, anything like that, to apply for their awards. But there are programs for you if you happen to be one, just not Taiwan. Okay. Another thing is the deadline for Taiwan is the same as India. It's August 1st. The grant dates are also, they're not the same, but it will take place in the same month. So that's also in March. And then you've got your award description there, too, to check out later. All right. And so on to Japan. So the IEA Japan program began back in 1988, and it was first called the Japan-Korea IEA program. It separated in 1994, but since then, nearly 200 Americans have participated in this program, which takes grantees around Japan. So that's pretty awesome. It's been around for a pretty long time. You'll have a wonderful alumni network to rely on within, you know, the larger Fulbright family. This program is interested in international education administrators and, again, senior administrators with substantial responsibility for enhancing the institutional dimension, international dimension, on their campus. Here, you have to have a minimum of 5 years of full-time experience in specifically international education. Okay. Preference is given to those without extensive experience in Japan within the last 5 years, and for people who indicate an institutional interest in increasing the number of Japanese students on their campus. So this is your key takeaway for Japan, is if you're looking to increase the Japanese population on your home campus, look more closely at Japan. That's the goal of this seminar specifically, is increasing Japanese students at your institution. Less of a focus maybe on just sending students to Japan. Again, this is more about bringing students from Japan to you. So this award is considered an institutional capacity building grant. Applicants are encouraged to consider the needs of their home institution and how the institution will benefit from this program. And this includes sharing knowledge, demonstrated commitment to the long-term process of facilitating and building exchange opportunities with institutions in the host country. So thinking about exchanges, things like that. Again, the focus is on Japanese students. Just like with Taiwan, Japan also says that English language programs are not the type of candidate that they want. They don't want instructors or directors of these English language programs for this specific award. Again, you want to look outside of Japan and Taiwan for if you're an English language director. Okay. For this program, the deadline is November 1st. So this is 2 months after the India and Taiwan deadline. Your grant dates are going to be in June, and so that might be great if, you know, everybody is out of town, you know, for on your host campus or home campus, everything like that. Hopefully summer might be a less busy time of year for you that you'll be able to go. Okay. So then on to Korea. So the Korea IEA program is a reciprocal exchange program, where there's this very small group of international education administrators from Korea who visit the U.S. each spring for a three-week series of visits, similar to what is set up for the U.S. program, so whereby they visit selected schools, colleges, universities, cultural sites, government agencies, and meet with Fulbright alumni. So both the U.S. and Korean IEAS participants attend the NASA conference to meet with each other. This is a really important aspect of the Korea seminar, is that you are required to participate in the NASA conference if you're selected to go. It is going to be at your own expense, though. It's not part of your grant stipend to attend the conference. So keep that in mind, that you're not only do you need to make sure to dedicate time to the grant, but also to the NASA conference. The Korea program is so cool because of this exchange, right? So you're getting to see your Korean counterparts through a different lens, too. You're getting a network of people that actually understand the experience that you've gone through because they've done just the exact opposite of you, which I think is super interesting. So this is going to take place, this grant will take place 2 weeks in June. There are approximately 6 grants available, so the grant numbers will change year to year. We keep the numbers updated on the award description, by the way, if anything changes. However, typically they are approximate numbers that vary on funding and program size, so just keep that in mind. These grants are available for international education administrators that deal directly with students on a day-to-day basis and are actively involved in promoting international education on campus. You also need to have at least 5 years of full-time experience in international education. So this is the first one that we've looked at so far that is saying that you must have, you know, day-to-day interactions with students and be actively promoting international education on campus. So a lot of them before were just saying that you need to have some component of internationalization and ability to affect change on campus. This one is saying directly they want people who are on the ground talking to students every day. Like the Taiwan and Japan programs, Korea is also not open to English language directors and administrators. So again, don't look at Taiwan, Korea, or Japan if you're an English language director. It's not the type of applicant pool they're looking for. Okay. So let's move on over to Europe. So France, participants experience briefings, campus visits, appointments with selected government officials. You know, you get to network, there are cultural activities, and you're meeting with international education professionals in France. So again, you're doing all of these meetings, these different lectures, things like that, where you're learning a lot about the education system in that country. The coolest thing, I think, about the France program, and this actually is involved with the Germany program as well, is that since the France and Germany programs overlap typically in timing, they end up actually getting to meet up with the participants of the other program. And so typically that will either take place in either France or Germany or in Belgium, right in the middle, at the Fulbright commissions there. And so that's a really great way to be able to actually, you know, effectively double or triple the people that you're meeting on your grant and learn so much more and be able to share stories and knowledge that you've gained. So what I want to stress about the France program is France is looking only for senior level administrators. So this is the first grant that is not taking anybody that is, you know, an advisor, has 3 years of experience, nothing like that. These are your senior level high administrators that are your directors, your deans, provosts, presidents and vice presidents. Make sure also that you have at least 5 years of experience. And you should have that experience specifically in international education or in a job in which you're being able to affect internationalization on campus. That's the biggest thing I want to stress about France. The deadline for the France program is actually pretty far away from right now. So, you know, if you totally forget everything I say today, don't worry. We're hosting a webinar much later in the year about France and Germany specifically to refresh your memory. The deadline's not going to be actually until February 1st of 2019. And then the grant will take place sometime in October of 2019.
And if I can just interject a few more points on France, if this is of interest to you, but perhaps you don't meet that profile that Mary Rolfe so kindly set forth, we really encourage you to share this with your supervisors, with your presidents, with your provost. They might be hesitant. They might not think their job really relates to that internationalization, but if they are overseeing you and it does, that is still a key component of their role at that university. So we highly encourage you to share this on your campus. Campuses are not limited to just one Fulbrighter. Perhaps your president gets to go to France and perhaps you go to Korea. That is acceptable. There's no quota per institution.
And another thing, too, is if you ever have questions about where you think you might fall within any of these programs, please talk to us. We like talking to people, and we will respond to you. So if you write in and you say, help me, I'm lost, and, you know, here's my CV, where do I belong, we're happy to help guide you to where we think you might best fit for an award. We're happy to do that. We have our contact information on the presentation. It's the IEA at IIE.org email. That's the best way if you're looking for some guidance as far as where you belong in IEA. Great. And so going just a little bit north of France, we're going to talk about Germany. So the Germany IEA seminar has two distinct parts. During the first 4 to 5 days you're going to spend in Berlin, participants are provided with an introduction to Germany and its higher education system through presentations, meetings with experts, campus visits, and touring the city. During the second part of the program, participants are divided into small subgroups and travel to other German cities. The reason why you're divided into small subgroups for Germany is actually because it is quite a large program. Unlike the other programs, which may have 10 to 12 people, the Germany program has 20 grants available and possibly more. Again, those numbers fluctuate, but you can tell there's a big difference between, you know, 5 grants being available and 20. And so you'll be divided into the small subgroups and travel to those other German cities. The seminar may conclude in either France, Brussels, or Germany, where you'll get to meet up with those French IA participants that I was mentioning earlier. So the interesting thing about Germany is the professional profile that they're looking for is quite vast, actually. This is, I believe, the most open as far as professional profiles go. The requirements are being a full-time administrator and being involved in one of the following fields: international exchanges, career services, alumni affairs, or development and fundraising. So none of the other wards are looking for people that work necessarily in career affairs or fundraising, different things like that. So that's the exciting thing about Germany is if, you know, you don't think of yourself as an international education administrator, maybe actually the Germany program can still work for you. Preference is given to applicants with at least 3 years of administrative experience and supervisory responsibility. That it is saying that preference is given to that, but it is possible to apply if you have less than that. However, I would encourage you to reach out to us if you don't fit within the criteria, and we can let you know if you would still be a viable candidate. Another caveat to this award is actually that you should be at your institution for at least 1 year before applying. So the deadline, again, just like France for the Germany program, is February 1st, and the grant dates are going to be in October again, so that way you can meet up with the French cohort. Oh, yes, and so one more thing about Germany is that you cannot be a dual citizen. So this is the first award where we've talked about dual citizenship. The other countries don't really highlight the citizenship as much. However, Germany, you cannot be a dual citizen and apply to this award. If you do happen to be a German citizen, let us know, and we'll try to find another award that fits you. Okay, and the last opportunity we have is in Russia. And so this award actually, you know, we tag CCAS on the end of it. That means Community College Administrators Seminars. And so, you know, we have IEA seminars, right? But then the Russia program is special in that it's strictly for community college administrators. It's open to presidents, vice presidents, provosts, deans, and other individuals with institutional authority for program development and international outreach. Applicants should be able to discuss issues concerning the U.S. system of higher education and the role of community college in this system and in local communities. So that's really important as far as with the Russia program is, one, you have to be a community college administrator, but also you're really talking about the effect of community colleges within local communities and in higher education as a whole. So you're getting a very, you're really zooming out at the same time you're zooming in about how community colleges play such an important part in the U.S. You have to have at least 5 years of experience for this award, so that is important. And it's not just 5 years of experience, it's specifically in community college administration. So keep that in mind. If you come from a large university and then you're moving to a community college and you've only been there for a year and that's your first time working with a community college, you'll have to wait at least 4 more years to then become eligible for this. So individuals without prior professional connections to Russia and whose home institutions do not have an established partnership or affiliation with Russian institutions of higher learning are preferred applicants and are very much encouraged to apply. However, you know, if you happen to have had some professional connections in the past, this isn't meaning like back in the 80s you happened to go to Russia for a week-long vacation or something like that. This is more so if you have a very well-established exchange program, you've been over to the country, you know, 20 times, something like that. That might be more so where they're saying, you know, that they're leaning towards less of a preference for somebody who already could do the program in Russia without needing any of the help and professional development aspects of the IA seminar, of the CCAS seminar. The Russia program, this is the only program that does not have a deadline on the first of the month. So please keep that in mind. The deadline for Russia is actually October 15th, so it's smack dab in the middle of the month. And then you're going to go on your grant in April. And so actually, the Russia program is the only program right now online that has the specific dates available. And so that program is actually going to begin March 30th and run through April 13th of 2019, just so you guys have a heads up. All right, so I've given you, I guess, maybe a not-so-brief overview of all of the countries. And so now I want to zoom back out and talk about your application and resources for you, things like that. So first, let's go into selecting the right award. So we talked about the individual aspects as far as professional profile goes, the grant dates, things like that. But these are some more thought-provoking questions to ask yourself when you're looking to apply. Okay, so the first one is, how has your campus been working to internationalize itself? You know, is it part of a 5, 10, 15-year plan that your university has put forth? Where are they talking about internationalization? Are they looking to increase the number of partnerships abroad? Are they looking to bring certain students from abroad as international students? You know, what are they looking to bump up study abroad numbers, things like that? And so especially if they're looking to increase cooperation in any of these IA seminar countries, that's also maybe something to look more closely at too. You know, are you guys looking in for those non-traditional study abroad locations? Then take a look at that India program again. Are you looking at setting up maybe an engineering program or something? Then maybe you want to go to Germany. Different things like that. The other thing is, again, like I had said, are there any institutional goals to increase the number of students from any country? Are you guys looking to increase the number of Japanese students on campus? Then that Japan program is bar none the perfect program for you, as long as you fit that professional profile. Another thing to consider is, have you had significant professional experience in any of these countries? And I want to just highlight the word significant. If you think that you could go on this program, you know, and you could actually be a leader on it, then likely that's not the program you should be applying to. You're supposed to be learning and engaging with the communities. You're giving, but you're also receiving information. And so you want to make sure that you're still going to gain something out of this and that you will learn something. And then lastly, again, professional profile. You know, if you don't have the minimum years of experience, or you're not in the right position if you're a president but you should be an advisor, or if you are an admin and should be a provost, something like that, then as much as your campus is trying to internationalize in that country, you still won't be a suitable applicant for the award because you won't meet the professional profile. Again, if you ever have issues with selecting the right award or you're really struggling, write to us and let us know, and we can try to guide you towards pointing out some of the aspects of the awards that we think you should consider and look at more closely. Okay, And so this is a fun page because this is a bunch of links for you guys to be able to help you craft your application, to help inform you more about Fulbright as a whole, about IEA seminars as a whole, the different countries as a whole. And so the first thing is that program website. And so we can actually go on and click through the program website. And there we go. And so this is IEA's specific webpage. We can also go back home, and I'll show you how I got there. So you go to Programs, U.S. Scholars, and then IEA Seminars. And so this is your landing page for everything IEA. Bookmark this page, you know, read it every morning with your newspaper and cup of coffee, go to bed reading it, you know, however you want to spend your day, informing yourself about the seminars before you hit submit on your application. And so if we scroll down on this page, you know, you're getting that overview talking about it's 2 weeks of professional development, talks, lectures, engaging with the local community, things like that. We've also got the deadlines kind of right there in your face for each of the programs. They're kind of grouped together so that way you can see when what countries are due. And then if you go further down, you'll see more information about webinars that we're either hosting or have hosted. And we're going to touch on that actually later, too. So I'll leave that for Sarah to talk about. If you go back up, you'll notice the eligibility tab. And so this is talking about making sure you're an eligible candidate. So are you a U.S. citizen? You must be a U.S. citizen to apply for the U.S. Scholar Program. If you're not, check out the visiting program. There's probably still a Fulbright for you somewhere. There's also going to be some just further information about, making sure you're not an employee of the State Department, different things like that. But if we go back up, you'll check out the application tab. This is where I think is probably the most informational. This is going to give you the most information. You're almost inundated with links on these pages, but in a good way. The IEA and CCAS application guidelines are, these are going to be great because if we just open one of them, you're going to see some specific information about the project statement. And so at this time, there are different application guidelines for the IEA seminars and the Community College Administrative Seminar in Russia. If you have any questions about the differences between the applications for the two, please reach out to us. We're happy to help you and happy to guide you through it. If there are any changes in those application guidelines, or changes to specifically those Russia guidelines, we'll make those changes online. Online is always going to have the most up-to-date resources for you. These guidelines, the project statement information, it gives you specific stuff like how many pages, single space, double space, all those things you remember asking when you were a student in college for your professors and your papers. It's also going to give you some great talking points and what you should be making sure you address. We're making sure you address these things because you don't want to leave the peer reviewers or, the technical reviewers or the Fulbright commissions. You don't want to leave them questioning your abilities as an applicant or questioning your purpose for going on the grant. And so we're trying to give you some guidance as far as what questions to answer to make sure that you're giving a very complete application. All right, so if we go back up and we go to timeline, I've actually got a whole slide with all of these arrows on it for your reference as well. But if you just want to view one or two countries at a time, this is probably the best place to check it out. All right, and you notice we've broken it down for you. There are several review stages to applications, and so we've kind of parceled it out for you as far as what times you're being notified. You will be notified twice throughout application review, just so you know. And we go back up. The last tab, we've got highlights. our second to last tab. And so these are just great anecdotes from participants. And then the final tab is just some FAQs. So check those out if you have any questions. We've probably answered a lot of them today. Or if you have a very, very specific question, just reach out.
And I think one other thing Miroff can probably go over is getting into the application. I think that's probably key for everyone.
That would help, right.
So we will launch that. It's on this page.
So I would encourage you as just to bookmark this specific page, the CIES.org URL, not the application URL. Sometimes when you book the actual application webpage, there's some technical issues with it. But if you book bookmark the our website page with the link to it, then you'll always be linked to the correct application page, just as a tip. Right? But yeah, we click this Embark application. So Embark is our application platform. It's where you're going to, if you already have an account in Embark, you can still use that account. If you don't, then you'll just create one. All right, and that's about it for that. If you have technical issues with the application or anything like that, reach out to us and we'll let you know. We can also navigate through the awards catalog. And so Sarah just typed in awards.cas.org, but the links to all of the awards are actually not only in the PowerPoint, but they're also online.
And so just to give you a quick view before we get to the Q&A section, so if you have any questions, please use the chat feature to submit. We'll get to that shortly. But just so you can find these awards, I know Mary Ralph gave you all of the award numbers, but you'll click Advanced Search. You could type those numbers straight into this little search function to find it. But if you want to see all of them, I highly suggest going under Activity and selecting Seminar. Once you hit Search, it condenses down to 7 awards. And as you can see, we have France, Germany, India, Japan, Korea, Russia, and Taiwan. So all 7 are listed here. This gets you exactly where you need to be. You can peruse them at your own leisure. And Meredith was great in going through each of them. We highly, highly, highly suggest that you read these 4 tabs in their entirety, and you know it. We want to make sure you meet what they are putting forth. So the award details that Meredith covered are listed on the first tab. Any award requirements, such as those applicant profiles of the 5 years, or maybe they're looking for presidents and provosts, that's located on this award requirement, as well as there's information on what the benefit is, what you will be receiving in terms of funding, and then just overview of the country slash area. And I will pass this back to Mary Rolfe.
So this is, again, they might look pro forma in a sense because you've got the same outline for each program and each award. However, the information within each of these award descriptions is really vital and actually pretty unique for each country. Some of the phrasing will still be the same, but just look for those key nuggets that we've been talking about in the presentation today, because there is a big difference between each award. All right, so we've got a couple other resources, application guidelines, which we went through, webinars, which we're about to talk about, Scholar blog, if you want to hear about alumni's experiences, and then also My Fulbright, which is where you can register your interest, and whenever we send out pertinent information about IEA webinars, we'll be sure to be able to contact you. Okay, application components, we've gone through a little bit of this already, right? You have the application form, which is on Embark. Your project statement, that's your opportunity to lay out your proposed project specifics. So you might not think you have to write a project statement because it's an IEA seminar. They're already planning the schedule, things like that. No, you still have to prove to us why this seminar is important for you. Why do you need this professional development? Why does your host or your home institution need you to go on this? You know, what are you going to be able to bring back, and how are you going to do it? I think people a lot of times in applications get caught up with just these kind of grand generalizations by saying, oh, I'm going to, you know, increase the number of Japanese students on campus. No, no, no. You got to tell us how. Give us the specifics. Really break it down for us. What's your plan? The more specific you can get, the more that the reviewers can really believe and see how you're going to be able to enact this change once you finish this webinar. Also, keep in mind that this is a cohort-based program. So you want to not just, you know, necessarily talk about me, 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 but, you know, what are you going to be able to give to the group as a whole? And, you know, do you function well within a group? If you don't, then you might want to consider that. This is a program where you're learning not only from the country, but you're also learning from your colleagues as well that are also on the program. You're submitting a CV, so obviously you've got to show us you're qualified, right? Letters of reference, so this will be either two or three letters of reference depending on the program you're applying to. That information, again, is in the application guidelines. Each letter of referee is going to serve a different role. Those roles can overlap. You might have to have an advisor, a supervisor, or something like that. But make sure that your referees kind of fit within at least one of those required. And then you've got an institutional statement. So some awards require an institutional statement, some don't. This is just 1 to 2 pages overview of your campus. It could be a flyer. It could just be a quick write-up, different things. People give different things. Some awards will require you to say the number of students on campus. Some will say specifically how many Korean students are on campus or how many Japanese students are currently on campus. You know, it's okay if there's zero, but you also still tell us there's zero. Go on, Sarah.
Oh, I was just going to add that Russia is one of the few that does not require this institutional statement, and I was going to let Nirul take it back over.
Oh, yeah.
Instructions.
So I linked these instructions for you guys, also just as a way to point out, remember that the IEA seminar, all the other seminars have slightly different instructions than specifically the Russia program. Again, if there's ever any changes to that, though, we're going to update our website with that, or if you're concerned, just reach out. Right, so I talked actually a lot about this project statement kind of information, more so, you know, again, just honing in on your impact. Why this country? What does this mean to you, to your home institution? What does this mean for future collaborations? Different things like that. Your professional development. Specifically this country. So again, each IEA seminar is different and requesting a different type of person, but you also still want to justify why that country is going to be an important person, important player in once you get back home. Okay. Right, so review process and timeline. We talked about the dates of all of these, but I just wanted to give you guys kind of a visual of the breakdown of this. You're going to have the deadline. Then typically about a month or 2 months after the deadline is when you're notified whether or not your application has been recommended or not recommended by peer review. So peer review consists of Fulbright alumni that went on the same grant that you're applying to. So if you apply to IEA Korea, you're going to be read by other IEA Korean alumni. And they're the ones basically, you know, they were on the ground. They were already there. They know who would make a good program participant. And so they're saying yay or nay. If they say yay, then your application moves forward to an in-country review by the Fulbright Commission. And then after that review is when you'll be notified of whether or not you received a grant.
Okay. All right, and so just wrapping up a few more housekeeping items. Mary Ralph mentioned that we do have upcoming webinars on each of the countries. In each of these webinars listed on your screen, we will actually have previous alumni from those trips, usually within the last year is what we try to bring. And these are people that we really think got a lot out of the program have a lot to offer, and so each one of these will have those alumni present. As you are aware, the first deadline coming up is October 1st for both Taiwan and India, so that one will be coming first. So if you are interested in either of those countries, please register for our webinar on June 23rd. You can find it on the IEA website or on the CIES homepage under webinars. We'd be more than happy to have you sit in and at least hear firsthand experience from those alumni. They can also give you tips on how to apply or certain things that they ran into. So these are great opportunities. And then moving down the calendar, usually about a month to 6 weeks out of each of the deadlines, we have the other webinars. So we'll shortly be followed by the CCAS option to Russia, and then it will be Japan and Korea up next. And then last but not least, in December, we will have France and Germany just ahead of their February 1st deadline. It's a little bit further out because no one wants to attend the webinar over the winter holidays. I'm fairly confident about that. And as we're about to get into the Q&A section, this last page just really tells you a few things that Mary Roth pointed out about joining my Fulbright and staying involved. It has our our email listed again, and just access to all of our social media handles. So we highly encourage you to stay involved with us, and with that, we will head on into the Q&A portion. There are a few questions, again, about accessing the presentation. As we said, it is recorded, and it will be archived and online. Mary Roth or myself will actually email each of you with a copy or a link to this, as well as a link to all the resources once it is archived. So you don't even have to do the work. We do it for you.
One question I see, a couple of people asking the same question is, can a department chair apply for the IA program? Sarah, what do you think?
I would say, having read listened to everything you spoke about, it could be plausible. However, one of the key things is you must wear that administrative hat and be dealing with those items that we discussed, you know, having that kind of heavy international education course load, perhaps you're advising students. But above all, I would say actually get on the phone with us directly, and just so we know exactly what country you're interested in, and we can kind of walk you through that. But it's not a no. I just think we need to explore it a little bit closer.
This would be one of those great times where if you send us a copy of your CV, also if anybody ever talks about, you know, having a faculty appointment or something like that, I ask them to break down their teaching versus their admin responsibilities and give me usually like a percentage, something like that, to get a better sense of where you might fall.
We actually have a great question, and I'm sorry we did not point this out earlier. You can actually only apply for in one cycle for either the core scholar or the IEA. So the cycle runs from March 1st through the typical cycle through August 1st. With IEAs, yes, it does go all the way to February 2nd, but in that kind of course load, so between now and February 2nd of 2019, you can only have one application out. Mary Roth, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, same thing. So you can only apply for one award per application cycle, so that means if you've already applied or planning to apply for something in the 19-20 academic year, then you can't apply for another opportunity that's going to take place in the 19-20 academic year. And that goes for IEA programs as well as the larger core program, like Sarah was saying.
About how many applications do we receive the India IEA award? Do you want to touch on that?
Sure. So as far as statistics go and how competitive each award is, we don't release application numbers. We don't find that they are suitable for actually being a good gauge to applicants of whether or not they're going to whether or not award is competitive. That's due to funding changes, program changes, different things like that. And so we don't release application numbers, unfortunately. However, if you do have a question about how many spots are open. You can find that in the award description. Typically, there's a rough estimate. So a lot of the awards say approximately, and then some awards will say, you know, 5 awards specifically or 20 awards specifically, things like that.
We do have a question, Amanda, I'll probably need to kick this one to you. Is prior experience in the country a pro or a con?
So prior experience is kind of a little vague, right? Prior experience depends. You know, did you go abroad for a semester when you were in college 20 years ago or even 10 years ago? That's probably not a big deal. If anything, that's probably what sparked your interest in the country, and that's that personal aspect tying you to why you want to apply for that country. Professional experience in a country, meaning you have gone there multiple times. You're the one that, you know, founded the exchange program at your school. You've studied and maybe published even on the education system in that country, things like that. That's probably one of those times where you're not going to be a preferred candidate. You're not going to be necessarily ineligible if you've had a ton of experience in the country. It's going to vary based on the award, and any information about that is going to be in the award description. But it might not make you as competitive as an applicant, because we want to make sure that people have an opportunity to visit visit a location that they've never been before.
We have a great question. Are there programs that tend to only select senior level administrators as opposed to lower level administrators, or was the typical ratio of senior level to administrator level? And I'll let Mirelle key in on this, but as she said earlier, yes, you do have a few, such as France, and I believe it's India, who are really looking on that senior side, versus on the other end, you have Germany, who are looking for kind of across the gambit. So you really just want to take a look at each of those 6 awards, or 7 if you are at a community college, to really see which one applies to you.
Yeah, and I totally agree with Sarah. The only other thing to add to that is that, since, again, it's a cohort-based program, and so obviously one program doesn't want to take necessarily, like the Germany program, for instance. They're not going to only want to take less experienced people. They want to probably arrange, right, because you're learning from each other, things like that. And so you want a variety of people in your cohort.
And I want to get through two, we're going to get through as many as we can, but there's two I really want to highlight in terms of how many reference letters are needed. Mary Ralph, you want to?
Yeah, so depending on the program, the community college in Russia currently stands at having 2 references required. The other awards require 3 letters of reference. And again, there are some awards, there is some specific information under that application guidelines tab on the website, but also if you get confused or anything or need further clarification on the types of references that you're receiving, just reach out.
Mm-hmm. And the other one that I think is very key for everyone on this phone is, should the institutional statement include information about the institution or the specific school that I work in within that institution?
That's a great question. I would say both. You know, give the broader information, especially I'm thinking about the Russia award, where they talk about, you know, your community college, but a lot of community colleges are part of a network, and so you do have a lot of schools that you could be affecting, you know, different things like that. So I would definitely give an overview of maybe the system as a whole, and then really break it down to your university too. I think it's great. You know, you're trying to inform the application reviewers about your university and how you can play a major role in disseminating the knowledge that you're learning. And so, talking about you know, you being right at home and pinpointing that, but also really broadening it out to those college networks is a great idea.
And then I know we do have to wrap this up. Please email us if we don't answer any of your questions. We'll try and follow up with, there's so many great questions coming in. But if a person has applied and made it through the initial review but not through the second, can they apply to one with a, can they apply again or receive feedback for that applicant? Definitely call us. We'd be more than happy to set up a email to set up a time to go over this. We'd be more than happy to look at your previous application. We don't have notes on what was said in those review committees, but we will take a look and see if there's any advice that we can give you to strengthen it in the future. And again, there's more questions about can they apply in the fall and the spring? No, you have to choose only one for the 19-20 academic year. So again, I'm so sorry we weren't able to get to all of these questions. They just keep pouring in. But please email us. We'd be more than happy to answer them. Yeah. And we will follow up with the recording. But we're great to see such an amazing turnout for this webinar.
Yeah, and everybody that has asked the question during this webinar, we do have a record of your questions. And so we'll be following up with you individually and answering your questions.
All right. Well, thank you again for taking an hour out of your day. And I see there's a note, there might be an edit on one of the webinars. We have it on the wrong date. We'll correct that before we send out all the information. We do apologize. But thank you for taking the time out of your day. Please, you know, just stay informed, check out the catalog of awards, and send us any questions you have. But we look forward to receiving all of your applications.
Happy applying!